Welcome back. In this lesson, we're polishing kick weights so your bassline blueprint feels like real old-school jungle and DNB energy, not just a loud low-end sitting under the track. This is advanced stuff, because in drum and bass the kick is never just the kick. It's a low-end anchor. It helps the sub stay focused, it gives the reese something to push against, it keeps chopped breaks feeling unified, and it makes risers and drop transitions land with more authority. If the kick is too long, the bass loses motion. If it's too soft, the drop loses impact. If it's too clicky, the mix gets brittle. So the goal here is balance. Heavy, present, confident, but still controlled. We're using Ableton Live 12 stock tools, and we're thinking like a DNB mixer, not a generic beat designer. The best kick in this style usually feels good in context first, and only then does it look impressive on a meter. Start with the right source. For jungle or old-school influence DNB, I usually want a kick that has a bit of natural punch and a short tail. Not a huge modern trap thud, not a super plastic click. Load your kick into a drum rock or place it directly on an audio track. If it's coming from a break, isolate the kick and give it its own lane. Keep warping minimal unless you really need it. With one shots, you want clean timing and a simple, dependable shape. First listen for the raw character. You're aiming for a fundamental somewhere around 50 to 70 hertz, quick transient response, and a tail that doesn't smear into the next bass note. If your bassline is busy, a shorter kick usually wins. If your bass is more open and atmospheric, you can let the kick breathe a little more and create weight through harmonics instead of length. Before you start boosting low end, shape the transient. That's the first big teacher move here. Use drum bus, saturator, or the transient behavior inside drum bus to make the kick feel confident. A small amount of drive, a little transient increase, and only a touch of boom if necessary. In DNB, the kick doesn't need to be massive in every band. It needs a strong perceived center. That's what makes it feel heavy even when the sub is doing the deepest work. If the kick feels flat, don't immediately pile on 60 Hz. Add some attack first. In a dense jungle or dark DNB mix, a kick with a clear front edge is easier to place against bass movement, hats, and chopped percussion. Now move to EQ8 and treat the kick like part of a system, not a solo sound. If the kick lacks body, a small boost around 55 to 80 Hz can help. If it's boxy, cut some 180 to 300 Hz. If it needs more definition in a busy break, a subtle lift around 2 to 5 kHz can help the click come through. But be careful. In old-school flavor DNB, you often want the kick and bass to work in a push-pull relationship. If the sub is hitting hard on the same beat, sometimes the better move is to trim the kick fundamental a little instead of boosting it. Now we lock the hierarchy. Keep the bass mono with utility and keep the low end centered. A good rule is that everything below about 120 Hz should stay disciplined and focused. Check the kick and bass together in mono. If the kick feels good alone but gets cloudy when the bass comes back in, they're fighting for the same space. One of them needs to shorten, tuck back, or shift in tone. This is where arrangement matters. In jungle and old school DNB, the kick usually isn't standing alone. It's living inside a chopped break and a groove that has movement. So place the kick in context, let the break move with a subtle groove or swing, and keep the kick a little straighter so it lands with authority. That contrast is part of the weight. A static kick inside a moving break can feel harder than an overprocessed kick that has no rhythmic contrast. Next, add saturation in stages. Don't smash it all at once. A clean kick into drum bus for punch, then saturator or dynamic tube for harmonics, often gets you more perceived loudness without needing huge peaks. A few dB of drive, soft clip-on, and output match to bypass is a solid starting point. This is especially useful when the mix is dense and you need the kick to cut through without eating the whole low end. The advanced concept here is duration management. In DNB, a kick that's even a little too long can wreck the groove. Shorten the tail if necessary. Use clip gain, sample trimming, simpler envelope control or fades to get the kick to sit in the pocket. Tight rollers usually want a shorter, more controlled tail. Old school or ravey sections can afford a little more length, but not so much that it blurs the bass pattern. If the kick works in the intro but clogs the drop, automate a small low shelf reduction or shorten the sample in the drop section. That kind of tiny change can make a huge difference. Because this lesson lives in the riser's area, transition design matters too. A riser should make the drop feel bigger, not hide weak low-end design. Use auto filter, reverb, frequency shifter, echo and utility to create tension before impact. Open up the riser's filter over the last bar or two. Increase its reverb wetness, Then cut it sharply on the drop. Narrow it toward mono right before the hit so the kick feels wider and more authoritative when the section opens up. The classic trick is simple. Let the riser steal attention in the high mids, while the kick quietly holds the floor. Then remove the riser, and the kick suddenly feels larger without changing the kick at all. Now let's talk sidechain. Don't use it by habit. Use it musically. Put a compressor on the bass or sub and sidechain it from the kick. Keep the attack quick, the release time to the groove, and the ratio just high enough to create movement. For rollers and old school styles, subtle ducking often works best. You want the kick to speak first, then the sub to roll back in. If you overdo the pump, the groove disappears. If you underdo it, the low end turns into mud. At this point, print a resample. Seriously, do it. Route your kick, bass, and break to a group and resample the loop. This is how you stop guessing. When you hear the processed groove as one printed object, you'll know whether the kick is actually anchoring the track or just sounding good in isolation. Indeed, NB, that print and commit workflow is a big part of getting results fast. A few coach notes before we wrap this section. Kick weight is often perceived more than measured. If it still feels strong when you lower the monitoring volume, that's a great sign. Also, check the kick in mono and at low volume. If it survives both tests, it's probably doing its job. And for jungle-leaning material, don't overpolish it. A little roughness helps it sit with sampled breaks and vintage energy. Sometimes the kick sounds better when it's a bit less perfect. If the drop feels weak, don't instantly boost the kick. Check the bass note lengths, the riser release, and the drum bus compression first. Those are often the real culprits. And if your kick isn't translating on small speakers, look for harmonic content between 120 and 500 Hz. That's where the ear often finds low-end presence on limited playback. A useful advanced variation is to change the kick's roll between sections. Use a rounder, softer kick in the intro, then switch to a shorter, punchier version in the drop. Or use a dirtier, more resonant kick in the second half to create progression. You can even layer a tiny ghost kick before the main hit for anticipation, or blend a little break kick transient under a clean kick to get more jungle character without making things messy. So here's the core blueprint. Build the kick around the bass line, not beside it. Shape the transient first. EQ for one job, not three. Keep the sub mono and controlled. Use saturation for harmonics, not just loudness. Manage the tail so the groove stays moving. Then use risers to clear space and make the drop feel bigger. If you do all that, your kick won't just hit harder, it'll make the entire bass line system feel more authentic, more rolling, and much more old-school DNB. For the practice pass, build an 8-bar loop at 174 BPM. Load a kick and a chopped break. Write a simple bass line with space on the kick hits. Clean up the kick with a Q8, add light drum bus. Keep the bass mono, add a riser in the last two bars, sidechain lightly, then resample the full loop. After that, change only one thing. Shorten the kick tail, reduce saturation, or adjust the sidechain release. Listen for which move makes the groove lock in better. The big takeaway is this: the best kick in advanced jungle and DNB is the one that makes the whole drop hit harder, not the loudest kick. The most useful kick, the one that gives the bass line a backbone, gives the risers a purpose, and makes the whole arrangement feel alive.